19th chapter of Revelation, verse 10. Last part of the verse, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so from Genesis to Malachi, if we have eyes to see, anointed eyes, we will see many, many indications and truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ as to his coming, his death, his resurrection, all those things. And so we need the anointed eye, though, and we see that the testimony of Jesus is what Scripture is all about and what a joy to our hearts. And now another verse in which we'll draw some more things is Hebrews chapter 12. Testimony of Jesus is all through the Scriptures, Genesis to Revelation. And now verse 3 of Hebrews 12. Two words. Consider him. Consider him. Well, seven things now we'll consider him. Seven suggestions to you. First, we'll consider him in his eternality. Son of God, the Father's bosom, ever was thy dwelling place, one with him and him rejoicing, one with him in power and grace. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he brought infinite joy and delight to the heart of God the Father as far back as you could go. And so we think of him in his eternality there, in looking all the way back before the creation of man and the angels. He was there bringing joy and delight to the heart of God the Father. And then the second consideration will be his incarnation. We had that in Luke chapter 2. The time came when it was time for the Father to send the Son and the Lord Jesus, saying, Father, here am I, send me, and the willingness of the Son to come. And he came here, and looking a strange sight, here is a babe in Bethlehem's manger. But he never ceased to be what he was because of what he became. It's almost inconceivable. That babe in Bethlehem's manger is the creator of all things, and he was the sustainer of all. All of those myriads of galaxies up in the heavens and everything else, that babe in Bethlehem's manger not only was a creator, but he was a sustainer of all the universe. You say, I can't understand all this. Well, there's a lot of things that we cannot understand, but by faith we just receive them from the Word of God. And so there's his incarnation. And then next we consider him in his life. As he went about, and he opened up the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf, caused the lame to walk, cleansed the lepers, fed the multitudes. And one of the Psalms, it says, for my love, they returned me hatred. And so we consider him then in that life. And then we're going to consider him, the next episode would be we consider him in his death. We've had that before us, and we never tire of it, that meditation upon the Lord Jesus. Remember, they came to arrest him that one time, and he says, whom seek ye? They said, we seek Jesus. He said the words of Jehovah, I am. They fell backwards to the ground. He could have spoke the word and destroyed him. But then, how would he glorify God and bring salvation to us? So there's his life. And then there's his death, that how that men took him, the mocking, the reviling, the scourging, spitting. Can you imagine playing, as it were, blind man's bluff with the Son of God, putting something around his eyes and buffeting him and taking him off and say, prophesy now to us, who struck these blows? Well, as I say, the Lord Jesus never lost his power. He could have destroyed his enemies, but he was sent here to do something. And so we find then that what all that man did to him, and there on the cross in the darkness of those 3 hours, we might say, God the Father says, man, you have done enough. You have seen enough. And now, in that darkness, there's that controversy that God has to deal with sin. God could not pass the sinner by. His sin demands that he must die. But in the cross of Christ, we see how God can save, yet righteous be. And so there, the Lord Jesus Christ satisfied all of the claims of a holy and righteous God when he who knew no sin was made sin for us, and the debt that we had incurred, it he took up and satisfied God's holy and righteous claims. And so there's his life, and there's his death. And you know, sometimes as I read the Gospels and everything else, my heart kind of sank. I was kind of, you know, bent down. I said, he's dead, you know. They killed him. They crucified him. But you just read on. And in the next chapter, so to speak, he is not here, glorious, enfranchising the heart. He is not here. He is risen. Death could not hold its prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. And so he's alive. And of course, we know where he is. He's at the right hand of the Majesty on high, high. He's our great high priest and intercessor. As they say, Moses had Aaron and Hur to hold up his arms. They grew tired and everything else. But the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, his mighty intercession alone is our resource. You know, we'll never know till we get home in glory how much we have needed that intercession on the part of the Lord Jesus. How many pitfalls and trials and difficulties that when we went to him and cried out for help and mercy, and he was at the right hand of God the Father interceding on our behalf. And so then we have his incarnation, his life, his death, his resurrection. What next then? His ascension. And while they beheld, he went up. There are three heavens, you know. There's the atmosphere, the first heaven, and then there's a planetary heaven, so to speak, Jupiter, Mars, and all them. And then there's what they call, Paul was caught up, the third heaven, the very presence of God. And so he ascended and went back up and sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. So there's his ascension. Well, what is he doing? And I've already mentioned that, his intercession. He's there as our high priest and intercessor. And so he makes intercession for us until we're all the way through this wilderness journey. And then one other is he's coming back, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we know, and our expectation is, before we even go home today, the assembling shout, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." In a moment, in a twink of an eye, caught up. And these bodies of humiliation, and boy, after a little time of operation I had not too long ago, I'm ready for a new one. Or a change body. For a while there, I couldn't swallow. That's something wrong. And then I went to a family doctor, and he put some tubes down here, came up on a something there on the show that you could see, and he says, "Nothing wrong with you." So I said, "Well, I'll start eating, try and eat again." And food wouldn't go down. And so finally, I went to a specialist, and they put me to sleep. And when I woke up, I had a son-in-law who had something like that, and he had a balloon inserted. So when I come to, they said, "You'll have a little sore throat right now for a while, but you're all right. Go ahead and eat anything you want to." Well, I got well, and I can eat anything now. So when I give thanks to the Lord for the food, I really mean it. I lost 6-8 pounds. I was wasting away to a frazzle. But the Lord undertook on that and guided the hands of those surgeons, made me well and all right. So we're going to get, though, a body fashioned like unto his body of glory. So he is coming back again. He's coming back first for the church, and then he's coming back with us. And you know, one of the wonderful things, Joseph had Asenath, and when he had all that glory over Egypt, why, his Asenath, his bride, was there alongside of him. And so with you and I as the bride of Christ, the day is coming when the Lord Jesus shall come, put down rebellion, and establish his kingdom, and rule and reign. And are you saved? Are you part of the church? And you're going to be associated with him in that coming day of his reign. I'll leave time for some others.